Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Sukkah daf Yud Tes. We left off on the top of daf Yud Tes Amud Aleph. We are at Tnan, at the fourth line of the page on daf Yud Tes Amud Aleph. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Landerer, in honor of his wife and children, and also by Seymour Gertzen family, in memory of Seymour's father, Rav Aryeh Leib ben Rabbi Eliezer Isaac, Olav HaShalom, whose yard site is on Yud Zayin Av, the Neshama Shev and Aliyah. We thank the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So first thing we're going to do today is we're going to finish our discussion of Pitikra Yorid Vesosim, which we began yesterday, whether we apply Pitikra Yorid Vesosim to a sukkah. Then we're going to have another Lashon of the same Machlokas, but it's not going to be about Pitikra Yorid Vesosim. It's going to seem to be a Machlokas about whether we say Lavud. And then we're going to discuss what happens if you do have a third wall of the sukkah, but it's near mi b'chutz v'shav mi b'fnim. That third wall is not visible from the inside of the sukkah. It's only visible from the outside, or vice versa. Does that count as a third wall of a sukkah? Then the bottom of Amud Aleph is going to give all of the different opinions of what are proper examples of Pesal Ayotzi Min HaSukkah, or Psal Ayotzi Min HaSukkah, that there are parts of the sukkah that would normally on their own be pasul, be not kosher sukkah, but it is covered by some amount of schach, it's covered by some amount of psal, which is kosher schach. So do we assume that since it's connected to a kosher sukkah, that it's going to be kosher to sit in those parts as well? So we're going to have four examples of what we call Pesal Ayotzi Min HaSukkah. And then on Amud Beis, the top Mishnah is going to talk about a sukkah that doesn't have a clearly delineated roof. You take a mat of schach and you just lean it up against the wall. So it makes like a tent that you can go inside. But where's the wall? Where's the roof? It's just on an angle. Or you have something that goes up and it comes to a point at the top where also it's not clear where the wall is and where the roof is. And then the second Mishnah Beis is going to talk about mats. Mats that are made for shchiva, mats that are made for sikluch, large mats, small mats. When can a person use a mat for schach? And what are the factors? Whether it depends on size, or does it depend on what it was made for, and what the status is of a stam mat? If it's not made for anything in particular, was made stam, what do we assume about such mats? So let's begin again, four lines from the top of the page. Tnan on daf Yud Tes Amud Aleph. So Tnan, v'chein chatzar mukevas achsadra. We said that if you have a chatzar that's surrounded by an achsadra, and then you put schach over them, so it's going to be a problem if the walls that surround the chatzar are more than four amos away from where the schach begins, because then we're not going to be able to say the dofen akuma. And if more than four amos, you can't apply dofen akuma, so you don't have any mechitzos of the sukkah. Says Marabat Vamai, name a pitikriyar v'sosem. Why is it a problem? Why can't we just say pitikriyar v'sosem? That the awning that protrudes out in front of the homes, in front of the apartments that are around the chatzar, comes to an end, and therefore the end of that awning should begin a pitikri or vesosim and should create mechitzos all around the sukkah. So it says Tirgamar Rava Ali Badabaye Kisha Hishva Eskiruyam. So Rava, who himself doesn't hold a pitikri or vesosim anyway, so this isn't a problem for him. He's the one that would bring a raya from this Mishnah. But he says, have to be honest, that you could defend Abaye from this one. That to defend Abaye, one could say that the case the Mishnah is speaking about is where there is no clear end to the awning, that there is no, and therefore no ability to say Pitikri or Vesosim, because the way you set up the schach is that the schach is flush up against the surface of the awning. So there is no clear, open, tefach, wide awning where you could then just say that it's Yorid Vesosim. That would work if the schach is over the awning. But if it's flush up against the surface of the awning, then there's no way to say Pitikri or Vesosim. That's how Rashi explains in Dibra Masl Kishehishves Kiruv, Sha'asa Kiruyo Namuch, Volonasan Rashi Kanim Al Gabe Tikra, She Pitikra Niraba. It's not that you put the schach over the Tikra, where you would then be able to see the Pitikra, the surface of the awning. Ella Talatin Beshava Lepianisarin, She'ain Chuda Nira Basukah. You're not able to see, since you put it flush up against, you're not able to see the edge of the awning from the inside of the sukkah. So Kol Tikras Kagosein Chalaka Beshava Haisa V'lo Shipua Ken Shalanu El Katikras Elios. And Rashi is talking about like a flat awning, not where it's set up like a roof that's on a slant where everything, where the rain would just slide right down, but rather it's more of a flat type of awning. So that's the end of the discussion about Pitukri or Visosim. Lest you think that the discussion of Pitukri or Visosim does not play a critical role, and this sugya does not play a critical role in halacha, because after all, who would dream of making a sukkah based on Pitukri or Visosim? Yeah, maybe by sukkah it doesn't play such a critical role, but in Hilchas Erevin, this was a huge discussion about Pitukri or Visosim. There is a sefer called Torah Chemed, where they published Rav Michal Bar Weissmandel's heter for making an Eruv in Brooklyn, that he thought that you're able to make an Eruv in Brooklyn, and one of the walls, I mean, first you have to establish a son of Rosh Hashanah Daraisa. That's the big deal, because if it's a Rosh Hashanah Daraisa, then you can't make an Eruv. So in order to establish a son of Rosh Hashanah Daraisa, there need to be walls around it. You need to have something that surrounds it. So he one of the walls that he utilized was a bridge that he said the surface of the bridge is a pitikri or a visosim. So you're surrounded by water, plus you have the surface of the bridge, and the surface of the bridge, the side of the bridge, is a pitikri or a visosim. So Rav Moshe in his tshuva, in Aruch Chaim Chelek Aleph Sim Kuflam Ches, disagrees, and he says you can't say pitikra on the bridge based on our sugya, because Rava says in our sugya that even Rav, who says that by Enach Sadra Bibika, that doesn't have mechitzos on all four sides, you could be metaltel based on pitikri or visosim. But if you make a sukkah in that chatzah that's mukavas achsadra, we don't say pitikri or visosim, because dafka by the achsadra we had said we say pitikra because the mechitzos and the tikra were made l'shem the achsadra itself, but not for the sake of what's on the other side of the achsadra. So pitikra works for what's made for the inside of it, but you're not going to say pitikra for the other side that the tikra is not made to enclose. That was the chilik that we made by an achsadra. So he says, says Rav Moshe, why did they make the sides of the bridge? Not so that, on the other side where the cars aren't and the people aren't, should be enclosed by the bridge. No, they made the sides of the bridge to enclose the actual inside of the bridge, the people on the inside of the bridge, the cars that drive over the bridge, and therefore you cannot apply pitikri or visosim, and therefore you don't have a mechitza. However, in Tshuvas Minchas Yitzchak Chelk Zayin Simul Chav Dalet, he says that his mechutin was correct. His mechutin was Michal Ber Weissmandel. He says mechutin was correct. He defends from Rav Moshe's disagreement, and he says that in the Sefer Pischa Zuta in Hilchos Sukkah Simul Tav Reish Lamed, he tries to show that as far as sukkah, Rav says dafka if the mechitza is made l'shem sukkah, we say pitikri. And not if it's made l'tzad chutz. That's a din in Hilchos Sukkah. But in Hilchos Shabbos, it doesn't matter which side it's made from. It just matters that there exists such a wall. Obviously, the issues of an Eruv in Brooklyn are much, much more complicated than that and got much more controversial than how to interpret a sugya in Sukkah Daf Yotes. But that was one element of that discussion of the Eruv in Brooklyn. So in Surah we had the sugya all about Pitikri Rav Visosim. That was Machlok Zabai and Rava. That was the whole case of Achsadra, and it was exactly as we just learned it. But in Pumbedisa they taught the whole Machlokas differently. That Sike Chal Gabe Achsadra She'en La Psimin Divrei Kol Psula. That if you're Misakech over in Achsadra, so again the Achsadra is that there's an awning that comes out around the houses that surround this chatzah, this open area, and you're mesakech over that awning, and there are no petzimin, there are no poles holding up that awning that you could say that you would be able to say lavud to make a wall out of it. Everyone would say it's possible, meaning we don't hold pitikri or visosim. Yesh lo p'tzimin, it's only if it does have poles that hold up those awnings, then you have machlokas. Abai yomar k'sheira, Rava r'psula. That's where Abai says it's kosher, and Rava says it's possible. Abai yomar k'sheira, amrina lavud, Rava r'psula, lo amrina lavud. Rava says it's possible that we do not apply lavud. V'ilsik lishna kama, we paskin like lishna kama. Lishna kama says that if there are poles that hold up the awning, of course you say lavud. And both Abai and Rava would agree that that counts as valid mechitzos. The whole machlokas is about pitikri or visosim. And we pass like that lashon, not like the lashon we just just mentioned right now, that everyone agrees there's no Pitagor Rav Sosim, and the whole machlokus is whether there is a din of lavud. Why would Rava say there's no din of lavud? So if you look at Rashi, Rava Amar Psula, the lavud lav mechitzahi, elmei alach l'moshe v'sinei gemirila, v'chi gemirila lios mechitza l'chol, l'anasa b'shvilo, avu l'mishtia l'hachol, l'hachol lo. He said lavud is not a real mechitza, it's an imaginary mechitza, it's a legal fiction. And therefore, lavud is only going to work for that which it is meant to enclose, but not for the other side, that it's not meant to enclose. So if you have these poles that are holding up the awning, they're meant for the inside of the awning. They're not meant for the outside of the awning, and therefore, according to this Lashon, Rava would not apply Lavud in such a case. That's how Rashi understands. The Ritva says, can't be. Lavud is Hilsa Gemirila. How could it be that Rava disagrees with the principle of Lavud as we know it, that Lavud is a reality, that Lavud is viewed as a Mechitza Gemura, and he therefore says that the Machlokas Abaye and Rava is talking about a case where you have an aksadra that has two walls, zu keneged zu, and then at the edge of the walls, there's like a patsim echad. There's one pole at the edge of each of the walls. Abaye says, through those patsimin, we're willing to then combine that with the concept of pitikri or visosim. To say, even though generally we're not going to say pitikri or visosim just on pitikri alone, but we also have poles at the end, even though they're not within three tvachim of each other, we'll put that together with pitikri or visosim, we'll say that's good enough. And that's where Rava says, no, I reject Pitikri or Vesosim in Hilchos Sukkah entirely. So we cannot apply Pitikri or Vesosim. So that's the Machlokas. That's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says Machlokas about love, but the Gemara didn't say the Machlokas about Pitikri or Vesosim. So says the Ritva, yeah, but it doesn't really mean love it over here. Over here, love it doesn't mean love it. Sometimes the Gemara will use the same word that it uses somewhere else, but it means something entirely different in the context, and based on context, it can't possibly be that based on the rest of Shas, where Lavud is like a given and everyone accepts Lavud, it can't be that Rava is rejecting the principle of Lavud. Now, Rashi didn't say Rava is rejecting the principle of Lavud. He says Rava's only rejecting utilizing Lavud for the other side. And anyway, the Gemara says, Halacha Kalishna Kama, we don't paskin like this understanding. We paskin that Lavud works automatically. But nevertheless, the Ritva was uncomfortable with even the possibility of a rejected Lashon within Rava, suggesting that we're not going to use Lavud for even the other side. So that's how the Ritva has to reinterpret the entire Gemara. Now, says Gemara, Ravashi Ashkel Rav Kahana to Kamisake Chalgabe Achsadra Shein Lapsimin. Ravashi saw that Rav Kahana put Tzchach over an Achsadra that did not have Ptsimin, it did not have these poles. So it was, the Rashi points out, the case must have been that there were two normal walls, there were Shtayim Kilchasan that were perpendicular to each other, and the third wall was close to the Achsadra, and they didn't make a tefach like the Chacham said. So it was Ein L'Ptzimin. So Amar Le, I mean, the third wall was not really a wall; it was the Achsadra. It was an awning that protruded out, and that's what they were utilizing. Meaning they were utilizing Pitikri Yar Visosim for the third wall. So Amar Le, Lo Savar Mar. Don't you hold that, like Rava said in the first Lashon, that if there are no Ptsimin, if there are no poles that are within three Tvachim of each other with which to utilize Lavud, then the whole thing's going to be Pasul? So don't you realize that this is Pasul? He says, oh, let me show you something. There is a wall over here, it's just that you can't see it from the outside of the Sukkah. You can only see it from the inside of the Sukkah. But there is, in fact, a third wall. Inami nirim mibachutz v'shavim mibifnim. Or the way the third wall was set up was that you can only see it from the outside of the Sukkah. You're unable to see it from the inside of the Sukkah. The itmar nirim mibachutz v'shavim mibifnim nidon mishum lechi. We said in a different context in Hilchos Eiruvin that if you have a mavoi that requires a lechi at its entrance in order to be matir, carrying in the mavoi. So if it's near mibachutz, if you can see the lechi from the outside of the mavoi, but you cannot see it from the inside of the mavoi because it looks like just a continuation of the wall, meaning you have a mavoi with two walls that go along the sides, and then you add a pole that extends one of the walls, but from the inside it looks like it's just straight wall, and that's just where the wall ends. From the outside you see it's a little bit of a protrusion. From the outside you see that it's an extension onto the wall. So that in such a case where you have near mi b'chutz v'shav mi b'fnim, it's nidon mishum lechi. It's exactly, it does count as a lechi. V'lechi, haynu p'tzimin. So a lechi would have the same status as p'tzimin, and therefore if it works as a lechi, it would work over here as well. That's the assumption that the Gemara makes. That if it works over there, then it's got to work over here as well. The Rishonim raise the question: why? Why? Just because? What does Mavli have to do with sukkah? By Mavli, there are three mechitzos. The lechi is only there as a heker. So we say, okay, nirim bibachutz, shavim bifnim is a good enough heker, because once you're outside, you realize that there is a lechi there. But by a sukkah, the third wall is a halacha midaraisa. So the third wall, maybe we're going to be a little more makbid, that it has to be something that's recognizable to the people inside the sukkah. So how does nir mi b'fnim v'shav mi b'chutz work? It's not nikar b'toch ha-sukkah. So, and don't tell me it works midin migo, that since it works for Shabbos, it's going to work for sukkah. Because remember, we had that discussion on Dav Zayin, that migo davidofen linyan Shabbos, avidofen linyan sukkah, migo davidofen linyan sukkah, avidofen linyan Shabbos. And that's why we said on the Shabbos of sukkahs, you can carry in a sukkah that's shayim kilchasun shlish shafil tefach, even though it doesn't have proper mechitzos of Shabbos, because it has mechitzos of sukkah. That's why we said on the Shabbos of sukkahs, you can sit in the sukkah that is pase bira'os with schach over it, because pase bira'os counts as mechitzos for Shabbos. So migo, that it's mechitzos for Shabbos, it's mechitzos for sukkah as well. So says Tosfos, nah, you can't say migo over here, because you think Rav Kahana only used the sukkah on Shabbos. Migo works when it's sukkahs and Shabbos that coincide with each other, but sukkahs is longer than just Shabbos. Sounds like this was his sukkah. And also, we don't say migo drabanan to be makshir third wall, which is midaraisa. So the rush is mitaret that we're talking about, where you made a turis ha-pesach on the sukkah. And Rav Kahana l'shitaso holds that you need a turis ha-pesach as well. So since there's a turis ha-pesach on the sukkah, and min ha-torah, that counts as a mechitza, the fact that you need a third wall therefore only becomes a din midrabanan. So that's why we say migo, that it works for Shabbos, it's going to work for sukkah. Alternatively, says the Rush, it could be the sukkah's kasher midaraisa based on pitikri revisosim. When Rava says that pitikri revisosim doesn't work because the mechitzos are not made for the inside of the sukkah, they're made for the outside, that's a din midrabanan that Rava's telling you. Rava would hold that pitikri revisosim on a daraisa level really should work. It's only on a darabanan level that it doesn't work. Okay, now once it's only on a derabanan level that it doesn't work, so then we could the tefach could help to solve that problem midrabanan, just like it solves the problem midrabanan in the area of hilchos Shabbos. Okay, so Tana, Pesel Yotzim in a Sukkah, Nidom Kesukkah. So new topic now. When you have Pesel Yotzim in a Sukkah, you have an area that's covered by Schach somewhat, but it doesn't meet all of the requirements of a Sukkah, but it's adjacent to, it's attached to, it's a continuation of a regular Sukkah, a kosher Sukkah, a fully kosher Sukkah. So even that part is Nidom Kesukkah. Even that part is considered to be a chelik of the sukkah. So my Pesel Yotzim in a Sukkah, what are examples, what are cases of Pesel Yotzim in a Sukkah, says the Gemara, four examples. Number one, Amar Ula, Kanam Ayotzim La'achari Sukkah. Let's say you have a sukkah that has three walls, and then you roll out the mats, and the mats are longer than the sukkah itself. So the mat goes over the middle wall to the other side of the middle wall. So if you're standing on the outside of the sukkah, on the other side of the middle wall, again, let's assume a sukkah has three walls, so you're on the other side of that middle wall, but there's schach over you, so that's a pesel yotzim in a sukkah, and that's going to be kosher. Says Mar Vabina Shal Stefanos, wait, you don't even have walls. There's one wall that you're looking at that was really made for the other side. You don't even have three walls. Says Mar, no, b'di'ika. Let's assume the walls protrude further out also, that the walls go beyond where the third wall is, the side walls go past where the third wall is, where the middle wall is, and therefore when you're sitting on the other side, the outside of the sukkah, you actually are surrounded by three walls. But vabin an echshu sukkah. But a sukkah needs to be seven tefachim by seven tefachim, and the walls aren't protruding out seven tefachim by seven tefachim. The schach's not protruding out seven tefachim by seven tefachim. Says Mar, who said it's not? B'di'ika, it is. So you actually have like two adjacent sukkahs to each other that are sharing a middle wall. Vabin an sasim rumu chamasa. But don't you need more shade than sunlight? Yeah, b'di'ika. It's talking about that you have plenty of shade also. That the schach is providing you with plenty of shade. So says Mar, well then ihachi ma'alameimna. Well then, what's the chiddush? Of course, you have everything. everything. That's not a Pesach Yosim in a sukkah. That's a regular sukkah. They have three walls, Silasim Ruma Chamasa, Shiva by Shiva Tzvachim. What would be the problem? So it says, I might have thought that since that middle wall was really meant to enclose the other side, and I'm just utilizing that wall for the outside of the sukkah as well, so I might have thought that even though the outside of the sukkah meets all of the halachic qualifications of a sukkah, I might have thought that it's that since the wall is made for the other side, it's no good. Come Hashemalan, that it doesn't matter that the wall is made for the other side; it's going to be valid. That's one example of Pesach Yotzim in a sukkah. Second example, Rabbi Rav Yosef Ami Tarvayu, Hacha Bekanim Ayotzim Lefinim Min Asukah Umashchav Azal Chada Dofen Bahadayu. That the case is, you have three walls. One of the side walls goes out much further than the other one of the side walls, and the schach goes all along as far as the longer of the side walls go. So when you're sitting under that schach, right next to the longer of the side walls, where you're no longer surrounded by the other side wall, because the other side wall stopped a little bit short, that's a case of Pesach Yotzim in a sukkah. So Ma'ad Deimel Lesbah Hefshah Sukkah, Kamash Malan. I might have thought that where you are standing right now, you're not surrounded by three walls. Where you're sitting right now, you're only surrounded by two walls, the longer side wall and the middle wall. But the other side wall didn't extend out this far, so I might think that that's no good. Kamash Malan, that's kosher as well. A third definition, Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Nitzcha L'Sukkah Sherubat Tzlasim Rumi Chamasa, Umiyat Chamasa Rumi Tzlasa. Let's say you have a sukkah that mostly the schach is pretty strong. The schach is more shade than sunlight. But there is a section of the sukkah that is more sunlight than shade. So I might think that it should become pasul with that little bit, meaning the part of the sukkah that has more sunlight than shade, I might think should be pasul, you're not allowed to sit under it. So kamash malan, that's okay, that you're allowed to sit there. Umay yotze, why is that called yotze min asukkah? It's in the normal body of the sukkah. What do you mean yotze min asukkah? Yotze mehechsher sukkah. In that context, yotze must mean that it goes beyond the normal rules of hechsher sukkah, but it's not actually a yotze from the sukkah. The Ran points out that which were machshir, the Pesel Yotze, when it's chamasim rumit silaso, meaning this example of Pesel Yotze min asukkah, is dafka if that Pesel is not Zayin al Zayin Tfachim. But if that area that has more sunlight than shade is itself Zayin al Zayin Tfachim, then the Ran says, I'm not sure that we're going to be machshir that area either. Because, and that's what the Ramah Pasen, Tafrei Shalman Aleph, Sif Bey, is that we should be machmir about this issue. And the Mishnah Berurah says that the reason we're machmir when it's a makum of Zayin al Zayin Tfachim is because Zayin al Zayin Tfachim is a makum chashuv b'fnei atzmo. It's therefore not going to be batel to the rest of the schach where it's silasim rum mechamaso. It's considered its own independent location within the sukkah, and that independent location is more chama than selen, therefore not going to be valid. The Prima Gadim points out that according to that shita, if that place, the chamasim rum mechamaso, goes across the full length of the wall in a way that the makom that sell is meruba only really has two walls around it, maybe the whole sukkah is going to be pasul. Because if the part that has more chama than sell is independently large enough to be separated from the rest of the sukkah, so that may ruin the rest of the sukkah, because if that part, the part that is more chama than sell, takes up one full wall, so then that full wall should be considered removed from the rest of the sukkah. Miri disagrees with the whole thing, and he says that since rova the sukkah, silasim rum mechamasa, we shouldn't pasul even the chelek that's chama merum metzila, even if it's zayin al zayin tefachim. Hamzvi, even though the Ramaz machmir, there are chashulchan writes that from the lashon of the Gemara and from the stimas haposkim, it sounds like we could be make it like this shita that if a section of the sukkah, no matter how large a section of the sukkah, has more chama than tzel, then as long as in total the sukkah has more tzel than chama, that's called Pesach Yotzim in the sukkah, and that's going to be kosher. And then a fourth definition, Rabbi Shaya Amar Lo Nitzcha El L'Schach Pasul Pachos Mishlosha V'Sukkah Ktana. The case is you have a sukkah that's exactly Shival Shiva Tfachim, and you have less than three tefachim of schach pasul in that sukkah. So you could sit under that as well. Umay yotze, why is that called yotze min ha-sukkah? Where is it physically leaving the sukkah? No, yotzei mitorah sukkah. It means that it's something that normally would not be able to be to qualify as a sukkah because it's schach pasul. Schach pasul normally doesn't qualify as a sukkah. Now, if you look at the different shitos of Amoraim that we quoted, who defined pesul yotzei mit sukkah, we first had Ula, then Rabbah and Rav Yosef, then Rabbah Rabbanam Rav Yochanan, then Rabbah Shaya. So the Aruch Haner points out that that is not the seder that they lived. Normally you would imagine that we'd start with the earlier generations and go down to the later generations. It is not done in that way because we're putting Ula and Rabbah Rav Yosef before Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan is from the earlier generations in Amoraim. So he says that the seder the Gemara presents, the four examples of Pesach Yosef and Sukkah, is in the seder of Chidushin, that Lozu Avzu, that we're trying to build up from the least Chiddush to the greater Chiddush. Because the din of Ula, that it's Nidun Kasuka, is really not a great Chiddush at all. It has three mechitzos, it has chach kasher, it's 7x7, it's got everything, right? The Chiddush that you could use that middle wall, not really such a great Chiddush. So then it tells me the din of Rabbah and Rav Yosef, that even if you have a schach without a shear of the funnels, the pesel is going to be kosher. And then the din of Rabbi Yochanan tells me that even if there's a chisar in the schach itself, the pesel is going to be kosher. And the din of Rav Oshia teaches me that even if there's schach pasul, not only a chisar in the schach, you have an actual schach pasul in the sukkah katana, that's able to be mashlim, the full shear of the sukkah. So in that sense, it's building up in the level of chiddush. So mask of Rav Hoshia lo yehi ela avir va'avir pachas mishal shok musuk ketana mi pasil. Well, what's the chiddush of that last halacha that when you have less than three tefachim of schach pasil in a sukkah ketana that it's kosher? Even if you have avir that's less than three tefachim in a sukkah ketana, it's going to be kosher. So why would the schach pasil be any different? Schach pasil is more kal than avir. So amalei Rabbi Abba, zemetzar v'yishen tachtav, zemetzar v'yishen tachtav. No, there's a big difference. When we talk about the schach pasul, we're even saying that when it's less than three tefachim of schach pasul in Sukkotana, you're even allowed to sleep under it. But less than three tefachim of avir, you're not allowed to be under the avir. So it says Gemara, really? You have such a situation where pachas mishloshes tefachim of avir counts toward the shear of a minimum size sukkah of 7x7 tefachim, but you can't be under it. You can't use that area. Umiyik amidi ditzarufim mitzarif huatzma enu kasher. Do we have another example in all of Shas like that, where something is mitzarif to the shear, but it itself is not valid for use? If it's mitzarif to the shear, then it should be valid for use. So Amar Rav Yitzchak ben Eliashiv, we do have another example in all of Shas like that, not in Hilchos Sukkah, but in Hilchos Mikvah, that tit hanirok yochiach, shemitzarif l'arbah misah, v'atovel bo lo also lo tvila. That if you have mud that is very loose mud that can pour from one kli to another, it's mitzarif to the shear of 40 sa'ah that you need for a mikveh. Right? We're used to mikvahs that are very nice and comfortable and fancy and spa-like mikvahs. You know, and muddy mikvahs sometimes. So you have a, it's like bathing. So you're not allowed to be in the titanirok. You're not allowed to be tovel in the titanirok, even though the titanirok is mitzarif to the mem sa'ah, to the 40 sa'ah that one requires for the mikveh. Tosos raises a question over here that Maseches Mikvos, it says that the shear of tit that's right to be mistarif is tit shakana yori me'elav. According to Rameh, Rabbi Yehuda says makom she'ein kana hamida omed. So meaning, how loose does it have to be? It has to be that if you stick a stick in it, it's not going to be able to stand up. And then Abelazar ben Deloy Omer makom shamishkolus yeredes. So that a weight will sink right through it. And then Rabbi Lazar says, Hayori b'fi chavis, Rabbi Shimon gives a whole six different shitas. And on Zvachim it says that the shear of tit that's right to be mistarif is when a paro would bend down and drink from it. So we have all these tanaim in Maseches Mikvaos that talk about tita hanirok and the exact shear of tita hanirok that would qualify as water. So he says that which they have in Machlokas and Maseches Mikvaos and the shear of tit, it means they argue which tit the behema would actually drink from. But you can't say but they're not really arguing about what constitutes titanirok. Okay, so but meaning they're all really just, they all hold to the same shear, Tosfos points out. They're just arguing what the shear is that a behemoth would actually drink from. So new Mishnah now, says the Mishnah, Hosa sukkah will come in tzrif. Let's say you make a sukkah like a tzrif. So what does it mean like a tzrif? So you make a sukkah that comes to a point at the top. It's like a round sukkah that comes to a point at the top. Osha samcha lekosel, or you have a like a piece of schach slash wall that leans up against against an existing wall. So it's like you have a triangle, like a right triangle that you can sort of crawl in or walk into, and that will be your sukkah. So Rabbi Elazar posel b'meishen lagag. Rabbi Elazar says that's going to be posel because there's no roof to such a sukkah. Meaning, where does the wall end and the roof begin? Where does the roof end and the wall begin? V'cham machshirin, and the Chacham say that such a sukkah is going to be kosher. Some of the Rishonim assume that Chacham Machshir, meaning how big does it have to be? Meaning normally you need to have 10 tefachim of height, 7 by 7 tefachim. So how tall does the inside of this triangle have to be? So some of the Rishonim say that Tzdafka of the Shipua is Yud Zayin Tefachim. That if it's 17 tefachim on an angle, because then you can count the first 10 tefachim as wall, and then the next 7 tefachim you'll count as Schach. And Rabbi Eliezer, who the Gemara says Machshir when it's Gova Tefach, also would say, we're going to see soon, Rabbi Eliezer who apostles is going to say that if it's a Tefach lifted off the ground, then it's going to be kosher. He too would require another 16 Tefachim in the piece that you're using itself. One Tefach plus 16 more. Other Rishonim say, no, 17 Tefachim is not enough. You need to have an area where when you stand up 10 Tefachim high, you're still going to have 7 Tefachim. If the whole incline is only 17 Tefachim, you will not have an area that's 10 Tefachim high that you can square out. That's 10 Tefachim high and 7 Tefachim across. It needs to be big enough to have that, to have 10 Tefachim high and 7 Tefachim across. Some of the Rishonim are so makel that they say you don't even need 17 Tefachim. It's good enough that there's just 10 Tefachim in the Shipua, and that's the sheer Heksha Sukkah. So the Magen Avraham in Simtav Reish Lamed Al, Sivkat Nyud, says that you have to do the measuring straight and not ba'alach, so not on an angle, because obviously when you put something on an angle, it's going to minimize these shear. It's going to make it much much smaller, meaning passing is like the most machmir of those three shitos in Rishonim. So now, says the Gemara, Tana Moder Rabbi Eliezer, Shemigvia Menakarka Tefach, or Shefliga Menakosal Tefach, Shigshera. The Rabbi Eliezer is Moder that if, even though Rabbi Eliezer does not approve of a sukkah that doesn't have clearly defined wall or roof, but if you clearly define it by even just one tefach of very clearly defined roof, or even just one tefach of clearly defined wall, meaning you have it on an angle, but the angle only starts one tefach off the ground. First you have wall, and then you have the angle. Or the angle only starts one tefach away from the existing side wall, where you have clearly one tefach of roof, and then it goes on the angle. Then Rabbi Eliezer is going to be moda that it's going to be kosher. That it's going to be kosher in such a such an instance. So my tamayit rabbanon. What's the sheet of? Why did the rabbanon? Why did the rabbanon allow it? Meaning, why did the rabbanon think it's okay? Shipuyol them call them damu because they hold that a slanted oel has a din of an oel. Abai Ashkel Rav Yosef to Kokani Bikilas Chasanim Besukah. Abai saw that Rav Yosef once was staying in a tent inside of a sukkah. Now the tent had cloth covering, but it came to a point at the top. It was a triangular tent. So here it's going to be the reverse. If you hold that counts as an ohel and it would be a kosher sukkah, then you're going to hold that Rav Yosef is not being yotzei the mitzvah of sukkah because he's inside a tent that's made in such a way that would therefore mean he's not in the sukkah, he's in the tent. But if you hold that it doesn't count as a real ohel, and therefore the sukkah would be pasul if it were made in a triangular way, then Rav Yosef is okay. Then Rav Yosef would be in a tent that does not ruin his sukkah experience. So Amalei, Abai says Rav Yosef, Kiman, Kirabi Eliezer, what are you doing? You're following Shitas Rabbi Eliezer? Shavkat Rabban Vavad Kirabi Eliezer? You abandon the Shita of the Rabban and do like Rabbi Eliezer? Rabbi Eliezer said that a triangular sukkah that doesn't have a clearly defined roof is going to be pasul, so therefore you're allowed to sleep in such a tent inside of a sukkah. But that's only Rabbi Eliezer. How can you follow Rabbi Eliezer against the shita of the Rabbanan? So I'm lay b'raisa ipchatani. He says, because there's a b'raisa that flips the shitos, that Rabbi Eliezer is the one that says that it's kosher for a sukkah. Tani Rabbi Eliezer machshir v'chacham impulsin, and the chacham were the majority opinion. They're the ones that say that it's possible for a sukkah, and if it's possible for a sukkah, then it's fine for a tent inside of a sukkah. So I'm following the shita of the chacham the way the b'raisa reports the shita of the chachamim. Yeah, but if you have two reports of what the chacham said and what Rabbi Eliezer said, one is from a mishnah and the other is from a b'raisa, shafkes masisim v'avad k'b'raisa, why would you abandon what the mishnah says and instead follow what the b'raisa says? So amalei masisim yichidayhi, because the mishnah reflects the shita of a das yachid who reported the shitos of the chacham and Rabbi Eliezer. Titania, because the b'raisa elaborates who's the author of mishnah. Hosus sukasuk minstri v'shasam chalakosal Rabbi Nassan Omer, that Rabbi Eliezer pulls the Meshal in Lagad, the Chum Makshivin. It's Rabbi Nassan who says that Rabbi Eliezer passes on the Chum Makshir. But then the Brisa tells us that the majority opinion is that these Shitos are reversed, and that Rabbi Eliezer was Makshir and the Chum Pasel. Ah, so if the Chum are the ones that Pasel a Sukkah that doesn't have a clearly defined roof, so if I have a tent without a clearly defined roof in the Sukkah, then it's going to be perfectly fine. I'm going to be allowed to use such a tent. Okay, new Mishnah. Machzelus Kanim Gedolah. Let's say you have a large reed mat. So I saw the shchiva, if it's made to be used as a kli to lie on, some mekabel, some of a mesachim, but then it's mekabel tumah, and by virtue of the fact that it's mekabel tumah, you can't use it for schach, because there are only two qualifications for schach. It's got to be gitulah min haaretz, and it's got to be something that's in a mekabel tumah. We did see exceptions, that there are certain things that meet both of those qualifications, still can't be used as schach on a drabbanan level, right? We had plai kalim, we had things that are very smelly, right? Other things, dinim drabbanan like that, but the base requirement midaraisa is that psalus garden viakev, that you need that which is in a makabal tumah. So if you have a mat that's makabal tumah, then it's no good. But the sikuch, if it was made for the purpose of schach, so mesachim b'avein mekabel tumah, then you could use it for schach, and it's not going to be mekabel tumah. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, achas katana v'achas gedola. Rabbi Eliezer says it doesn't matter whether it's a large mat or a small mat. Asal l'shchiva mekabel tumah v'avein mesachim b'ah. If you made it for lying down on it, then it's mekabel tumah, and you can't use it for schach. But the sikuch mesachim b'avein mekabel tumah, if you made it for the purpose of schach, then you could use it for schach, and it's not going to be makabel tumah. So says Gemara, hagu fakasha. I'm confused, the Gemara says. What if you just made it stam? What do we do then? So Amrit, asal l'shchiva, we said in the beginning of the Mishnah that you have this large mat. If you made it for shchiva, mekabel tumah vein mesachin ba, then it's makabel tumah, and you cannot use it for schach. Okay, time of asal l'shchiva, that's only because you made it for the purpose of a kli. You wanted to use it as a kli. Hastama l'sikuch, but the clear implication is if you made it just stam, then it's perfectly good to use for schach. V'hadotani, but then the next line says l'sikuch, if you made it dafka for the sake of schach, mesachin b'vein mekabel stoma, only then can you use it for schach. Time dasal l'sikuch sounds like it's only because you dafka made it for schach. Hastama l'shchiva, which makes it sound like stam. It's meant to, that if you made it stam, we assume it's l'shchiva and it's no good for schach. So which is it? What's the halacha by stam? So Gemara's going to have two answers. Answer number one, halo kasha. Kan begedola, kan begtana. It depends on size. Meaning, what's the status of stam? Well, if it's very large, then we assume stam is l'sikuch, because it's too large to use as a mat for an individual person. But if it's small, then we assume stam is l'shchiva, and therefore will not be able to be used as schach. Rabbi Lezer Omer, achas ketana v'achas gedola, asal l'shchiva, mekabel tumah v'ein mesachin ba. So says Omer, but then how do you read Rabbi Lezer? Rabbi Lezer says, I don't care about the size. The size is never going to make a difference. If you make it l'shchiva, it's mekabel tumah, and you cannot use it for schach. So how are we medayik from Rabbi Lezer? Taima da'asal l'shchiva, hastama l'sikuch. Regardless of size, the implication of Rabbi Lezer's first line is that stam is for schach and is perfectly kosher. Ema seifa, but then Rabbi Eliezer himself goes on to say, regardless of size, asal l'sikuch mesachin b'avein mekabel tuma. That if you made it for sikuch, then you could use it for schach and it's not mekabel tuma. But taima da'asal l'sikuch hastama l'shchiva. That implies that stam, you make it as a kli to be shochiva on. So Ella Amar Rava, that's why we need a second answer. Ella Amar Rava, bigdola, if it's a large mat, Everyone would agree that a large mat is assumed to be made of lesikuch. Ki pligi b'katana, the whole machlokas is only by a smaller mat. That Tanakama is over katana l'shchiva. That Tanakama holds that a small mat is meant l'shchiva. Verblazu sover stam katana nami l'sikuch. And Verblazu holds that a stam small mat we also assume is meant for sikuch. V'hachi kamar machzelas, and here's how you read the Mishnah. Machzelas hakanim gedola. If you have a large mat, if you made it to lie down on, it's no good for schach because it's a kli. But if you make it stam, then we assume that you probably made it for this for a schach, and therefore you can be misakich with it. We'll skip the parentheses. Vasa Rabbi Elazar the Meimar, achas katana, vi achas gedola, stomach sher l'sikuch. That whether it be a large mat, whether it be a small mat, we assume that if it's stam, if you made it stam, then it's going to be kosher for sikuch. This obviously begins the discussion, the major discussion that poskim have about using mats bismanenu. There's a machlokas rishonim about using mats, a small mat that you need to use for schach, machlokas rishonim, if it's good enough that you yourself made it l'sikuch. But what if the people who produced it didn't make it l'sikuch? What if most people who produce such mats make it l'shchiva? You made it for sikuch. Is that good enough? Or do we say we have to follow Rov Ha'ir? So there's a discussion about mats in general. General Bisman is that one of the issues that they relate to is an issue that doesn't even come up in the Gemara, and that is that there's a Rashba, is a Chuvas Rashba writes that if there are a lot of Nisarim, there are a lot of little pieces that are attached to each other, so then it becomes like one big board of four Tvachim. So it's a Gzeres Tikra, and therefore maybe we should be Choshesh for the Gzeres Tikra. So that's the major discussion that the posts come out when it comes to mats. There are a lot of Svaras to be Makel on that, but we don't have time for that right now. But Hashem will pick up from there tomorrow. Have a great day, everyone.
Thank you. Yeah.